The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The following is a conversation between Greg Lee, president of Live Strong, and Denver Frederick, host of The Business of Giving on AM 970 The Answer in New York City.
It is a little counterintuitive, but too many nonprofits are overly focused on mission at the expense of developing a healthy and robust corporate culture. Because, at the end of the day, it is the people who work there who deliver on the promise of the organization. That has not been lost on Livestrong, who happens to have one of the very best work cultures of any nonprofit organization in America. And here to tell us what makes it so special is Greg Lee, the president of Livestrong. Good evening, Greg, and welcome to the Business of Giving.
Glad to be here and joining with you and the audience, Denver, and sharing some insight on our culture.
Why don't we first start, though, by having you tell us about Livestrong and the mission and goals of the organization?
Well, Denver, we are celebrating our 20th anniversary, and during that 20 years, we have remained focused not on cancer specifically, but on the patient who has cancer. And it's that differentiation that makes us special, because we're not focused on the disease as much as we are the person who has the disease. And during that 20 years, we've served more than 4 million cancer patients and their families and provided free services to them as they navigate through a cancer experience.
Fantastic. Well, Greg, you know, some organizations say they have a feedback culture or an entrepreneurial culture. Some say they have a coaching or data-driven culture. What word or phrase would you use to describe your culture?
You know, there's two or three things that come up, but I think I would say all in or active or engaged. We want our staff to be totally and completely immersed in what they're doing. This is not something where people show up at 8 and leave at 5. They're oftentimes here early in the morning. They're working out. They're on a treadmill. They're doing things. They're going to a yoga or Pilates class. They're doing something with a nutrition class or something like that. But they're totally immersed in not just the work that we're doing, but the people that we're helping serve. And so I guess if I had to put it into one phrase, I would kind of call it all in, because people literally are all in. They're given 150% of their time, energy, and effort to help others that are battling through cancer.
Yeah, they put it all out there. They leave nothing in there. They just keep on pushing. Well, you know the importance of leadership in shaping and influencing a culture. What do you do there to help influence and shape yours, and how do you model your behavior?
I think there are several things that we ask of our leaders. Quite frankly, it's a pretty simple ask, because they're all engaged and excited just like I am. But we want them to lead by example. It is really difficult to have a team be excited and immersed and really all in and actively engaged if your leadership team shows up half the time, if they show up late, or they show up with less energy. We just ask our leaders to give 150%. And quite frankly, one thing that is very unique about our organization is people are so drawn to the cause and the work that we do, that this is not something where you constantly have to motivate and inspire those leaders or those team members, because they realize the millions of Americans that are fighting through a cancer diagnosis, and they know what that feels like. And so they come already inspired and motivated to try to help those families.
Yeah,
so, but it's really more just living that model behavior rather than just talking about it.
You know, every organization has their core values. However, I go to some organizations, and a lot of the people who work there don't even know what those core values are. So what do you do to animate yours and communicate them and reinforce them throughout the entire Livestrong organization?
You know, several different things. You know, we have them on the wall. We have a written kind of manifesto, if you will, that talks about the values of the organization and our expectations. We also have awards that we provide every month to those who emulate those the most. And then probably most effectively, they're used in our performance evaluation methodologies that literally emphasize how well you live and breathe those core values. Yes, there are goals and objectives and performance accomplishments that we hope to see, but it's not just what work we get done, it's how we get it done that is also important.
Yeah, that is really critical, and that's quite unique. Most organizations are just looking at what you accomplished. You're really focusing as well on how you went about accomplishing it and how it really represented the values of the organization. What about feedback? Are you a feedback culture? Do you wait for these performance reviews, or is this sort of an ongoing thing at LiveStrong in terms of trying to talk to people about, you know, their jobs?
It comes across as a little bit of a cliche, and I certainly don't mean it that way, but we are a very transparent organization, very open-door minded. My phone rings 24 hours a day. I respond to email, text message, LinkedIn requests. And the same thing holds true of our staff. We are very engaged. We're very communicative. And so there is no need to wait for a semi-annual performance check-in to voice questions or concerns. Those come up all the time. We also have monthly team meetings, and we devote a designated time of those during those team meetings to literally have full transparency and talk about operations, talk about challenges, talk about the actions we're taking to overcome those challenges, and literally leave the door wide open for staff to ask any and all questions to try to get feedback throughout the cycle. It's not enough just to do it at the beginning or a midpoint. You really need to have continuous feedback from managers and staff alike.
Good stuff. Do you have any unique rituals down there that kind of reinforce the culture?
I think there are several different things that we do. We have a kind of a midweek check-in that really we call Tell Me Something Good. That's really very, very informal. Everyone gets together in something we call the dugout, which is an old loading dock. For an informal, they grab a cup of coffee, a soft drink, and a donut, and just have a conversation about what's going on. Some of that is personal, meaning that we allow them to bring their family life and personal life and things that are happening good to them. But then also it's an opportunity for us to routinely update the team on positive things that are going on within the organization. We want to share in the lives of our team members, good, bad, and ugly. And so this is an opportunity that we take advantage of every Wednesday to kind of bring the team together and share those things that are good, bad, and really do that in this all-in kind of culture that we have.
Mm-hmm. You know, you've been there for a while, Greg. Before you were president, you had been the chief financial officer. So you've seen this influx of millennials into the workforce. How have they changed your culture?
You know, I think, I know as a leader, and I'll talk about me first, and then I'll talk about the organization. You know, we're successful not so much because of anything I do, but how I am successful in working with the other leaders in the organization. And we allow the diversity and the flexibility and the different skills and traits and personalities of our workforce to shine.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the biggest thing that we're trying to do. If my whole team was just a bunch of Greg Lees, we would probably not be nearly as successful as we are to have a wide diversity of skills and personalities and things that drive us and things that motivate us. And so I think part of our philosophy is to allow each staff member to use their own personality, their own strengths, recognize their own weaknesses, and then leave them alone and let them do their job.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's probably a lack of innovation in the social sector, and it always seems to me that of all the sectors, we're the one that needs it the most because we're probably dealing with the most intractable problems. What do you do at LiveStrong to continue to be an innovative organization?
You know, I couldn't agree more with you, Denver. I'm reminded of a book I read recently called A Whack Upside the Head, and it talks about early in one of the early chapters about how when you're a young kid, you're given a rubber band, and you can think about 5,000 uses for that rubber band, and your imagination goes crazy on the different things you could do with that rubber band if you gave it to a 7-year-old child. And yet, if you gave that rubber band to, you know, a worker in your workforce and said, what could you do with it? They'd probably say, well, I could wrap it around something in the workforce, and that would be their limited use.
Or shoot it at somebody, maybe.
That's exactly right. We want to encourage them to think more outside the box. We have a little saying around here that today's problems are not going to be solved with yesterday's solutions.
Mm-hmm.
We have to come up with new solutions and new ways to look at the problems that we face today.
I love your metaphor. You know, recognition's important to keep people motivated and to reinforce the kind of behavior you're looking for out of your workforce. What do you do that's distinctive and unique in the way you recognize your best people?
A couple of different things. One that is probably often done by other organizations is some kind of a routine recognition of an employee of the month or something like that. We call it our Attitude is Everything Award.
Ah.
And we do that at a midpoint in every month. We have a team meeting. We bring people together. And those are people that are nominated by the team. They are evaluated by the team, and they're selected by the team. And so it's really where people can anonymously or proactively campaign for someone who's done a particularly great job that month in giving them recognition. I think the other thing that we do that's a little bit different is there are no rules or restrictions or regulations on spot awards that we want to provide to someone. So if a manager comes to me and says, hey, Susie did really good work on Tuesday on this thing, and I want to do a gift card, or I want to have a spot award for her, or something like some kind of recognition, great, we do that. And nice. I think every week or two, there's something like that that goes on. I think oftentimes in a corporate environment, there is an evaluation of performance at the end of the year, and usually maybe at one or two other intervals throughout the year. We try to have this be a very continuous process, and if we see somebody that is excelling and doing something really above and beyond, we want to recognize and reward that immediately and not wait till some artificial date that happens to fall in a midpoint of a calendar.
Oh, I like both of those things an awful lot. The latter one, I think you can only say good job to somebody so often, and having a gesture like that that you can do with something a little special and a little unique is really nice. And it's funny about these recognition. As much as people love to get recognition from management, it doesn't seem to mean as much as when it comes from their peers. And when people nominate one of their colleagues, that really, I think, has an incredible resonance. So I think those are two wonderful practices. What about technology? You know, in today's world, you can really communicate, your culture through that social intranet. What system do you use, and how do you use it to try to communicate across the organization?
Oh, boy, we have so many different communication vehicles. It's really even hard to list. Obviously, we have the normal email, text message functionality. I think something that we employed, starting about 24 or 30 months ago was an in-house chat feature or an instant messaging feature where literally you don't have to wait for an email server to connect an email back and forth, and it can be very informal, simple chat-type language. You can use abbreviations. You can send them to any group or individual that you want to, but it's a way for us to be able to do that really quickly and really easily, and people can access it on their computer or a mobile device or a tablet or phone or whatever, wherever. And I think that has been very successful as well. Also, I do not want to understate the importance to us of the communication that we do via social media. For the size and scale of our organization, we have an abnormally large social media presence and following.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a way literally for us to touch base with our own staff, but also with constituents and families and everybody else. In literally nanoseconds, we can touch millions and millions of people and provide information in real time that's very helpful. So we do the same thing with our staff, do the same thing with our constituents. It's a way for us to communicate very efficiently and effectively. I think the one emphasis that I would have, Denver, is that years and years ago, when I was first starting in the workforce, you wrote a letter to somebody and you waited for that response to come back, and it just took weeks and weeks and weeks to have a dialogue. Right now, we stress timeliness. We want calls returned within 24 hours at the absolute latest. We want you to prioritize information from outside constituents, prioritize information from colleagues and supervisors. But timeliness is really much, much more important now than it probably was, just because of the way technology has changed our environment and the expectations in the workforce.
I'm so glad to hear you say that, because I think that's been lost on too many nonprofit organizations, and that is speed. Speed is everything, and if you're going to stay near that front pack, you better move fast, and it sounds like you have a culture that moves very, very fast. Say a word or two about your efforts around diversity, equity, and inclusion.
I think this is really going back to the philosophy that you don't want a bunch of Greg Lees around the table. We don't want people in our organization that are just sitting around the table nodding heads. We want a diverse set of backgrounds. We want a diverse set of cultures. We want a diverse background of perspectives and experiences and education that really help make better decisions and help us ensure that the actions that we're putting forward are going to reach broad demographics and are going to have the kind of resonating feeling and compelling nature that we want to. And again, it's all recognizing that if you have a very diverse workforce, if you have an inclusive, diverse workforce, then you're going to come up with better solutions, mm-hmm. and your resonance with constituents is going to be much better.
Mm-hmm. You know, you said at the very top that your culture was all in, and you talked about leadership giving 150%. So that really leads me to the question about work-life balance and your efforts to try to maintain it and help people from avoiding burnout. What do you do in that regard?
A couple of different things I think are important. First, we don't punch a time clock. Mm-hmm. I do not have staff, you know, punching a time clock to make sure that they're here at 8 o'clock, and if they're here at 8:07, that I know about it, or that they, you know, take an hour and 5 minutes for lunch or things like that. We just don't punch a time clock. We hire professionals. They're expected to do their job. They work with their manager and supervisor to ensure that the hours and the time and the energy they devote is adequate to get the job done. But we don't micromanage their attendance or that sort of thing in terms of when they're walking in the door and when they walk out. The other thing that we try to do is we provide what we think is a generous package that says, hey, we want you to take, you know, 3 or 4 weeks a year to be able to decompress, to do things with your family, to enjoy some time away on vacation or out of the office. And then also we know that there are times where people are ill and they need to be out of the office to kind of get their body physically back to where it ought to be. And so we provide a generous allowance that literally lets them have 3 or 4 weeks a year to be out, and that doesn't even count holidays, mm-hmm. and other established things. So we try to provide a broad array of opportunities for them to stay away. I think another thing that we do is for those who have been with the organization 7 years, we have a 1-month sabbatical that we award that basically says, hey, wait a minute, you've given above and beyond for us for 7 years, and in addition to your normal leave time that we're going to let you have, this year we're going to let you have another month to go and reflect and refresh, and that's on us. And so that's a kind of an unusual perk, but something else that really helps with the work-life balance.
Oh, yeah, especially among those 6-year employees, I bet. Is, you know, one of the biggest complaints you get from particularly young people is that there's no road to advancement. There's no place for them to grow within the organization. And others along those same lines will say, well, I stopped learning. What does LiveStrong do to really invest in the personal and professional development of an individual? And what is that road where they can advance through the organization?
I think this all starts, Denver, with having an open, honest conversation and dialogue with each staff member about what they like, what they don't like, what they want to do, what they don't want to do, and forget for a minute about that role within the organization.
Mm.
But have an open, honest dialogue about what does the individual want to do. Now, obviously, we hope that what we do is provide an attractive environment and challenging work that directly matches up with that individual's hopes and desires and dreams. And so there's a long time, you know, career path and success at work. But that doesn't, I don't think we can orchestrate that too much. I think we have to sit back and have an honest conversation with each team member about what they like and what they don't like and where they want to grow and what their personal aspirations are, and then work to build that into their career path. And then at times be open to say, hey, I know that you want to move in this direction, and we're not moving in that direction. How can I help you do it?
Yeah.
Even though it may be external to the organization.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that kind of open, honest, sincere, authentic dialogue with each staff member, each professional staff member, is very well respected and I think very much appreciated.
I bet it is. It seems to be custom tailored and very much an individual journey, and you really try to honor that and help the individual with it. Is there something at LiveStrong, Greg, that nobody would know unless they work there, or something that happens where you would say, boy, this could only happen at LiveStrong?
You know, Denver, you kind of put me on the spot here, because there's probably 10 or 15 of those kinds of things that happen all the time. You know, only at LiveStrong would the president of the company dress up as a 1980s game show host for one of the team meetings to try to energize the staff and talk to them about changing culture and the way the life and times of the country have changed over the last 30 years.
That's
only at LiveStrong do we have a a doggy day a couple of times a year where people bring their family pets, and we literally take advantage of the yard adjacent to our building and enjoy a great time together with pets. You know, we also take a half a day every 6 months and do something good for the community together. A few years ago, we took a team of 60 folks and flew down to New Orleans and did work with Katrina and Habitat for Humanity, building 5 houses. And we look for those kinds of outward bound types of things mm-hmm. that we can continue to do in the community and do them together. Only at LiveStrong could you come in late one day and not have a boss mad at you because they know you're altering your hours and you're still getting your work done. So a number of things like that, I think, fall into that category.
It sounds like a very cool and happy place. Let me close with this, Greg. Of all the things that you've discussed, and maybe some of them we haven't, what is the one thing that you are most proud of about the corporate culture at LiveStrong?
The corporate culture at LiveStrong is all about the people. It's all about the person. It's all about you. It's all about the individual. And if you take care of the person, the human, the individual, then the office culture takes care of itself. If you forget about the person and you forget about the human in all of us, then you've got a challenge with your culture. But literally, it's all about the person and the individual. And if you focus on that one person at a time, somehow the rest of the culture tends to take care of itself.
Everything falls in place. Well, Greg Lee, the president of LiveStrong, I want to thank you so much for being with us this evening. Not only is LiveStrong a great place to work, but it does great work as well. So if people want to learn more about that, tell us about your website and the kind of information you have there.
They can go to livestrong.org, and they'll find information about how to get help battling through a cancer journey. They'll also find resources that they can share with friends and family and others that they may know that are going through a cancer journey. And if you're interested in running a marathon or being active and helping us raise money to fight this disease, then there's avenues there as well. So a wide variety of information on the website, really more focused on how you can get engaged to either help someone else out or raise a little money to help out another family.
Fantastic. Well, thanks, Greg. It was a real pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you, Denver. It's always a pleasure. Look forward to doing it again soon.
I'll be back with more of The Business of Giving right after this.
The Business of Giving can be heard every Sunday evening between 6 and 7 p.m. Eastern on AM 970 The Answer in New York and on iHeartRadio. You can follow us at Biz of Give on Twitter and at Facebook.com/Business of Giving.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.